Great to have you aboard all across the country. This is SB Nation Radio. Jason Gotch rolling along with you. It really is a wonderful time of year. Baseball heating up, football happening all across the country, not just the NFL training camps opening up all across the land, but college football is right around the corner as well. And on Tuesday, they wrapped up the annual Big Ten Football Media Days, the two-day event they hold in Chicago every summer. It's a kickoff to what's going to happen here in the Big Ten as we get ready for their training camps to open up as well. So for more on that, let's roll right out to our guest line. He was there at Big Ten Football Media Days covering all the teams, especially the team he focuses on, the Michigan Wolverines. His name is Trevor Woods. He's with SB Nation. You can find him on Twitter at Woods Football is his Twitter handle, and read him at the SB Nation Michigan site. That's Mazin Brew. Trevor, I really appreciate the time. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
Let's talk about the focus being, of course, as I said, the team you cover, Michigan, and what happened with them at Big Ten Football Media Days. Give us some of the highlights of what went down with Jim Harbaugh and his Wolverines.
Some of the highlights were Harbaugh not telling a whole lot. He likes to keep his depth chart a secret more than most coaches because he feels it gives them a competitive advantage. With that said, there is a quarterback competition Harbaugh claims is in a dead heat between last year's starter Wilton Spate, John O'Korn, and Brandon Peters. It would appear from the outsider looking in that Spate would have the leg up, but Peters closed the gap in spring practices, and he was looking quite hot, so I expect Spate to get some stiff competition. Also with the Wolverines, they have lost the most starters in the country. But I also believe that may not be a major issue for them. The Wolverines have a staff that is of NFL caliber across the board on both sides of the ball and a legendary defensive coordinator in Don Brown. When it comes to college players, if you look at Urban Meyer, for example, among others, including Jim Harbaugh, the coaches are the most important thing, and no matter if it's a three-star athlete, a freshman, or whomever else, they can coach them up and get them to play and win a lot of football games. So I expect good things for the Mazin Blue, and we'll see starting against Florida in Dallas, Texas at Cowboys Stadium to kick off the year.
Yeah, that should be a fun one on September 2nd, a marquee matchup in week number one for both those teams. Let's talk for a second, though, a little more about Wilton Spate, because he is someone who started last season. Michigan was 10-3. Granted, he wasn't the most prolific passer in the country, but what does it say that he finds himself in a quarterback battle right now? Is it these other guys are just pretty good and they're challenging him, or is it that Jim Harbaugh maybe doesn't have a confidence in last year's starter?
I think it is just always, especially in college, there's always turnover. Harbaugh, for example, he had Andrew Luck at Stanford. He sat Luck his first year, and then as a sophomore, Luck came out swinging. My point is, Brandon Peters, he has a year under Harbaugh's system, tutelage, to where maybe his ceiling is quite high. Maybe Wilton Spate has improved, but Harbaugh likes to keep his options open, and it's not completely indicative of Wilton Spate and what he can or cannot do. It is more of Harbaugh likes to see competition, and each calendar year, whatever player, whatever position, nothing is earned until you suit up for the first day of practice, and then he'll go from there. So I do believe that to a certain extent, and then there's the element of, like I noted previously, where Harbaugh likes to keep his depth chart in wraps, kind of secretive, make Florida, for example, guess, look at more game film of all these quarterbacks and every other position when maybe they didn't have to.
Trevor, let's talk big picture offense now, because just remembering some of the bigger games last season when Michigan did struggle, they didn't seem to have a very good running game when they needed it. Is that something that you think can get better this year, and how important is that for that offense to take the next step to improve the running game?
Oh, very important. I mean, it all starts with the offensive line, the game in the trenches, and Michigan's offensive line must improve. And that would certainly help the running game. Devion Smith was the running back for the Wolverines last year who received the bulk of the carries. I felt he was a bit slow. There's Chris Evans this year. He's pretty fast. You have Caron Higdon in the mix. I'm not sure. I can't give you a definitive answer. Are one of these guys going to step up? That would be, to me, the biggest question mark. You can look at wide receiver, changing the subject, and the Wolverines lost Jehu Chesson and the great Amara Darboh and tight end Jake Butt to the NFL. But there's a lot of talent in the fold, and I'm confident those players will perform this year. The running backs, they're going to have to step up and earn it, and we'll see.
Trevor, you touched on the defense a little bit earlier in the conversation, and certainly Don Brown is a very good defensive coordinator, but you lose guys like Taco Charlton, you lose Jordan Lewis, you lose Jabril Peppers. I mean, these are name players on a good defense who are now in the National Football League. Give us an overview of the defense in 2017 and also what we should expect to see from Rashawn Gary, because he is such a highly touted sophomore.
He is one of the most touted prospects in this day and age of the 21st century prospect. Just the media coverage he received as a high school athlete and the praise that came along with it. Gary's a freak of nature. He's a Jadeveon Clowney type. He can run a 4.67 40 that Mike McCray, who's up for the Buckus Award, said is a for real 4.67 40. So that shows you what he can do with his legs, but then does he have power? Oh, he has a heck of a lot of it, and he uses it. So he will be a big part of Michigan's defense this year. Yes, they lost Jordan Lewis and countless others to the draft, but the good news is there's guys like Gary in the fold. Then there's Maurice Hurst, who is up for the Nagurski Award and Outland Trophy, who will be playing nose tackle. And he can not only stop the run, but he can get after the quarterback. The safeties were an issue last year. They're both gone. It's uncertain who's going to step up there, but I think they'll be better than what Michigan had last year. And that was a big deal. That lost some games, lost some first downs for Michigan. So the overview, I think, is better than the outsider give Michigan's defense credit for where we stand today. There's a linebacker named Chase Winovich. We have a defensive lineman named Brian Monet who don't receive all that much attention right now nationally, but those are names you will hear in the months to come with lots of sacks accumulated.
Trevor Woods is our guest. He is with SB Nation. He covers the Michigan Wolverines for SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at Woods Football is his Twitter handle. He's with me, Jason Gotch, talking Michigan football, getting you ready for the 2017 college football season. Trevor, let's talk next about the big picture in the Big Ten and where Michigan fits. It seems like the prognosticators really like Ohio State a lot right now. Penn State's the defending Big Ten champion. They're in that East Division along with the Wolverines. How do you see the pecking order, and how do you see Michigan fitting in the mix in the conference?
Ohio State has earned every right to be the favorite going into each season until proven otherwise, until a Jim Harbaugh coach team beats Ohio State. Although last year's game was highly controversial, they still lost it. So Ohio State's number one in the pecking order. That will be a bloodbath in Ann Arbor this year, and that may get Michigan over the top being home alone, seeing as how close it was last season in overtime. Penn State, I'm not a believer in Penn State. If you look at some of their wins last season, they weren't that impressive. Although, you've got to give credit where credit's due, they beat Ohio State at their home field, at Penn State's home field. And that was a great win for them. But Michigan stomped on them last year, 49-10. I'm just not a believer in Penn State, quite frankly. So I don't factor them in as much as some people would. But they went to the Big Ten championship game and did what they had to do. So hats off to them. But I think it's a two-horse race at the end of it all between Michigan and Ohio State. And we'll decide the last game of the season, as always.
Hey, Trevor, as much as Jim Harbaugh is loved in the state of Michigan, as colorful a character as he is for college football, and really the sport of football when he's in the NFL, he, of course, got a lot of good publicity, and rightfully so, and brought a lot of attention to the San Francisco 49ers as a coach. Is there any pressure on him to beat Ohio State, maybe more than the last 2 years because it was that honeymoon period? I know there's always pressure on a Michigan coach, but it seems like Jim Harbaugh would have more of a grace period than others, though it is year three for him trying to beat the Buckeyes.
Well, I think Jim Harbaugh would be the first to agree with you and say the pressure's amped up every year. You lost to Ohio State the previous year, and there's more weight on your shoulders you have to lift and get off your back. So I think he thinks of his life or death going into that game, because if he loses, it is the death of a season. It is football, but it's still the death of something that's very important to a lot of men, a lot of fans. So, yeah, and obviously Michigan fans and all involved would be highly upset if they lost that, but I don't think that is completely defining win or lose to Jim Harbaugh. Let's say that that's the only game they lose. That's one heck of a season. But there's always the but, and the but would be they lost to Ohio State. So you're correct, and we'll see. But I think the chances are good.
Hey, Trevor, let's move on now to big picture nationally. When we went through the Big Ten teams, you mentioned you think it's Ohio State and Michigan, and that game at the end of the year is going to be one that determines a lot of what happens in the Big Ten and who the champion is. But this young Michigan team that's very well coached, could they be in the conversation or even there? We talk about the four-team playoff coming up late fall, early winter, or is that too much to ask?
It's not too much to ask, and in the realm of possibility, to say the least. All Michigan's losses last year, yes, it's a younger team this year, but as I cited, I don't think that matters much with the coaching staff that Michigan has. These guys are good. They were good in high school, and they'll be good this year. So a four-team playoff, I think that's their goal. They don't want to lose a game, and I don't believe they're going to lose many. I'm not going to predict an undefeated season, but when you look at the schedule this year, there's not a lot of hard away games. They do have to play away at Penn State. That will be by far the most difficult. It gets quite loud there. But, as you know, the Big House is the biggest stadium in America, and 110,000-plus that are all raucous can certainly help an already good team gain more of a competitive edge.
Hey, Trevor, before I let you go, I want to ask you a little more about Jim Harbaugh. I know he went to Michigan, and he's a very good coach, but it seems like it's more than that about him. I mean, he's such a beloved figure. He has such charisma. He just, when you walk in a room, he just takes over that room. So what makes him so special that he has those qualities?
I would say it starts, and I've happened to know Jim Harbaugh longer than me covering Michigan. I covered the San Francisco 49ers as well, and I've happened to have met his father a lot, and I think he gets that from him, his good traits. And Jim's definitely, love him or hate him, he is a very unique character, and I mean that in the best of ways, to where he has an aura about him that has a laser-sharp focus, and people like him, people listen to him. And that's why he has always held a competitive team wherever he's went, whether it was the University of San Diego, whether it was Stanford, whether it's the San Francisco 49ers and now Michigan. He has made wherever he's been better. And why he makes everything better is because he looks at things differently. Abraham Lincoln, I will cite Abraham Lincoln in regards to Jim Harbaugh. Abraham Lincoln, he had people in his cabinet who were the smartest in their respective fields, because Abraham didn't want to be the smartest man in the room, and he wanted to listen to other people who were highly intelligent. Harbaugh does the same thing. When you look at his staff, he has a highly impressive staff for any level, but especially collegiately. And Harbaugh is always willing to pick the brains of people beneath him, whether it's a janitor, whether he did go talk to a high school coach when he was at the San Francisco 49ers, to learn about jet sweeps. The high school coach was shocked about it, that Jim Harbaugh would want to talk to him. So that is what makes Jim Harbaugh Jim Harbaugh. He is always willing to learn.
Trevor, great insight. I really enjoyed having you on the program, and it's going to be another fun season for Michigan football, so I hope we can chat again as the year progresses.
Oh, we certainly will. Thank you so much for your time.
There he goes, Trevor Woods. Check him out from SB Nation. Covers Michigan football. Find him on Twitter @WoodsFootball. It is Jason Gotch with you. Back with more after this.